Hey there, Sexology listeners. This episode is brought to you by Quince, your go-to for affordable luxury. I have to tell you about my latest find, the champagne silk dress from Quince. It's perfect for date nights, especially in the summer. It looks so expensive and feels like a dream, but you won't believe how affordable it is. Quince is all about high-quality fashion and home goods at a price that won't break the bank. How do they do it? The unique manufacturer-to-consumer model cuts out the middleman, bringing you premium products straight from the factory floor. With Quince, you're not only saving money, but also making a sustainable choice. Plus, they offer free shipping and a 365-day return policy, so you can shop with confidence. Check out their amazing selection at quince.com and grab free shipping plus 365 days at quince.com/sexology. Upgrade your wardrobe without the guilt. Thanks to Quince.
Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Sexology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nazanin Moali, and I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Today, we're going to talk about a very special topic that's impacting many of our clients, many of the people I see's life drastically, and that is being in a sexless relationship. Most importantly, we're going to talk about the top 10 effects of a sexless relationship. We're going to talk about the contributing factors. We're going to talk about what to do, what not to do, the mistakes that people make. Also, I recorded a YouTube video a few years ago, and it was one of the most popular videos on my channel, and it was on the sexless relationship. Although it was a few years ago when it got published, on daily basis, people comment under the video, and my assistant makes this joke that it's a Reddit at this point. And we go every day and answer people's questions. And that's very unusual because our channel has a following, but this video gets daily responses and people talking about their experiences. So I wanted to share some of those experiences with you so you can see how it's impacting people in real life. I'm not just talking about this abstract idea. Being in a sexless marriage has drastic impact on one's sexual health, overall health, and the relationship, which we'll talk about it. And I'm not here to bash the low desire partner. When we are in a sexless relationship, there is a dynamic there, right? So it's not only one person that's contributing to this dynamic. So if we want to resolve it, we have to resolve it as a team. Before we jump into today's episode, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, FirmTech. As a psychologist and sex therapist, I'm always exploring cool ways to boost sexual wellness. Let me share something mind-blowing. FirmTech's Tech Ring. Worried about bedroom performance? Curious about what works best for you with meds, supplement, exercises, and diets? The Tech Ring isn't your average cock ring. It's the world's first smart one that goes on and off easily with their patented hook and loop closure. Picture this, track it to hack it, then adjust your dosage. With a Tech Ring, guys can access their erectile fitness score to keep sexual wellness in check and address erectile issues. It's not just for sex. Wear it overnight to monitor nighttime erections for insight into heart and sexual health. The Tech Ring monitors firmness, length of time, and more in the heat of the moment, revealing how factors like relationships, meds, subs, and alcohol impact your performance. Tested it with my partner, and it's a game changer. Easy to use, more pleasure, and intense orgasms. For top performance, the FirmTech Max PR, their non-tech ring, enhances pleasure and endurance. Let's be honest, rings trump pills for most guys, according to FirmTech. safe, comfortable, and easy to use, smooth texture that glides on effortlessly and closes easily with their loop and hook. If you ask me about a cock ring, chances are I've recommended Firmtech. Try it for insight into sexual health and performance and pleasure, and you'll love it. They offered a discount code for our sexology listeners. So head over to the link below, type sexology, and it's going to give you 10% off of their product. Let's talk about what is a sexless relationship. Sexless relationship is when you are in a long-term relationship and you're engaging in sexual activity fewer than 10 times a year. And this lack of intimacy can lead to many, many suffering and challenges and impact people's quality of life. I looked into the studies and it seems like 15 to 20% of marriages are considered sexless. When I was reading the comments, someone wrote this quote from Robin Williams and they said, "I used to think the worst thing in life was to end up alone. It's not. The worst thing in life is to end up with people that make you feel alone." So if you are in a sexless relationship, you might feel that you're alone. And sometimes we don't have a support system to talk about this or problem solve it. And it can take turn to these chronic issues. And many people are remaining in sexless marriages for years and they are miserable. One thing I wanted to talk about is there are a group of people, there's a sexual orientation called being asexual. Asexual individuals are people who don't need the sexual experiences, they don't crave it. And it's, of course, it's a spectrum. There is a spectrum of how much people don't want to engage with others. For some people, it's that I get some enjoyment from masturbation in my body, nothing along with having fantasies of things of that nature, but I'm not repulsed by touch. And there are at the other part of the spectrum that really people don't like having sexual intimacy and they have other form of intimacy in their relationship and they're quite satisfied. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you are someone that identify with asexuality, the asexual individual, and you are with a partner that they're also asexual, they can be happy without having sex in their life. And research studies show that about 2% of population are considered asexual. So there's a galaxy of options to choose from. And I think it is not fair to force not having sex on your partner if you are asexual. I'm not saying that you have to have a mandatory sexual experiences or sex is a chore, but it's important to communicate with our partner clearly that this is where I am and here are our solution, whether you're doing it alone or with a partner. The other important point that I want you to keep in mind that this is an issue that's completely workable. It's not easy to work on it, but it's completely workable. Your marriage worth it, your relationship worth it, or you want to make sure that you know that you gave it a good solid shot before exploring other options. And other options for people could be living in a miserable life or going out of the relationship if their partner is not open to having consensual non-monogamy. On that note, I would like to share a quote from one of our viewers on how they changed their relationship. This is what they said. 2 years ago, my wife and I weren't to that point yet, but the routine and kids' activities were taking a toll. I was talking to a buddy about it, and he gave me the best advice ever. He said, "You know the word love can be a verb too. How much effort are you putting into your relationship?" So I took his advice and turned love into a verb. And my marriage is back on track and better than when we were dating. My wife even thanked me for putting in that extra effort because me making her feel special again reminded her why we got married in the first place. I also want to hear from you guys about your experience. We leave a link to the audio recording that you can record your audio. I will share it in the podcast anonymously, but I want to hear your thoughts and experience on being a sexless relationship. You can share with me good, bad, and ugly. All right, so let's go to the first effect. The first effect I want to talk about is experiencing resentment and feeling trapped. Resentment is a complex emotion that at times is a combination of anger, disappointment, and bitterness. We experience it when we feel unfairly treated or wronged. And this is an experience that I hear from both partners in relationship, the feeling of resentment. Going back to the idea of fairness, one partner might think that I've done everything in my power to put you in the mood and you are consistently rejecting me. I think talking about it, communicating with our partner is really important. But when I have people in my office, it's almost never experienced that the issue was they didn't bring it up. What happens is that they brought it up, the partner made promises that we're going to change it without any actual plan, and the change never happens. So years after years, one partner initiating and the other partner is rejecting them because they feel like my body is not ready. I don't want to have sex. In fact, I had this conversation the other day with a couple I was working with around them being sexless relationship. And the partner was talking about how difficult it is to not have sex. And the female partner said that she added this problem had two solutions. Either I'm betraying myself, I agree to have sex, I feel I'm giving in, you don't care about me, and when we are close, I actually feel violated, or I say no to you and you feel I'm betraying you and you feel you've been wrong, so there is no winner in my eyes. I don't think that is the case, or it should be that way. One of the things that you can do is at that point to work with a sex therapist. It's really important that when you feel stuck, you ask for help. Sometimes people have this misbelief that people whose relationship is failing, those are the people that are going to a sex therapist or couples therapist. I'm here to tell you that when you are waiting to, when things are tough, when the resentment built many years after being in a sexless relationship, when one of the partners went out of the relationship, the chances of sex therapy being successful is significantly less compared to when you notice that, okay, we are in this pattern, we tried and we need help. So my advice for you is that if you are in this situation, first of all, talk about it with the partner. You want to make sure that you are first processing resentment and anger on your own or with your own therapist. And the reason is people can feel that energy. When we feel that our partner wronged us, we cannot communicate neutrally with them. And the key for having the conversation is to have it in a neutral way. And if you both created this plan, the next step would be going to a certified sex therapist. I have people that with just few adjustments, they were able to change the quality of sexual connection in their relationship. I leave a link to my direct booking website under this show notes. So you can easily go there and book an appointment with me. Or if you are somewhere in the US, and you want recommendation for referrals, I would be happy to send you to the place that you can find a certified sex therapist. So that's really important to keep in mind. The second effect of being in a sexless relationship is experiencing a low self-esteem or experiencing that you're not desirable. It's really important that when we are in a relationship, we feel desired. Most people in the childhood, in the world, growing up, they have these wounds of feeling unworthy, feeling excluded, feeling rejected. our intimate relationship is a place that we heal those wounds. The idea is the person, they have our back. And when they are not reaching out to us to want to have sex, they're not initiating sex, or during sex, they're checked out, that can impact our self-worth and kind of impact how we experience ourselves. Many people have healthy self-esteem and self-worth. Maybe you are one of the few people who grew up in a completely healthy household, and you know that your self-worth is not connected and how other people experience you. But for majority of people, we had wounds. We had painful experiences, big T trauma, small T trauma, and being validated by others, especially with our partner, that can be helpful with addressing and healing those challenges. And as I said, having satisfying sexual experiences, it's not going to only affect your sexual intimacy. It can possibly impact various aspects of your life, including career success. One of my favorite studies is conducted by Dr. Nick Dridakis at Ruskin University. They found that people who are sexually active and satisfied tend to earn higher salaries. Isn't that interesting? This study suggests that the confidence and positive self-image resulting from a healthy sex life can enhance workplace performance and interpersonal skills, leading to better job opportunity and increased earning. So it's not only your relationship that can get impacted, the quality of your work will be impacted. And many people get satisfaction from work. And that's another place that they experience validation. So as you can see, it can turn to this unhelpful loop. Let's close this section by a quote from another viewer. As a guy in a sexless marriage, I take out my frustration by writing. Pride prevents me from making any more romantic overtures to my wife, because if history a guy, every romantic overture will be refused, laughed, or ignored. And for majority of the time, our partner, their intention is not to ignore you, laugh you, or reject you. It's more about this fight and flight response in their body. So when we are stressed, we might react in ways that is not even aligned with who we are. We might attack our partner. We might do whatever to take us out of that situation. And if you are in a sexless relationship, you know that it's the environment, the connection, everything at home can be very tense. And whenever we want to talk about sex, since the loaded conversation, we can be at this place of fight, flight, and freeze place. And we might do things that might be harmful for the relationship. And in result, our partner might feel that we are rejecting them. We are humiliating them at time, and that can lead to low self-esteem. Third impact is emotional and physical disconnection. It's really important for us to have physical intimacy in the relationship. Touch can be very healing, and touch can have lots of different meaning. It could be a sign of comfort. It could be a source of emotional connection. One of the reasons that people end up at this place is when we are avoiding touch because we're scared that can turn to an erotic touch and our partner want to have sex with us. We do everything in our power to prevent it because we love our partner. We don't want them to feel rejected, less than, and we do our best to send these signals that I don't want to have sex tonight. And one of the common themes that I hear from my client is that, okay, we don't have sex, but we no longer cuddle in bed. My partner doesn't hold my hand as we're watching TV. We're sitting at different parts of the couch. And I miss being connected physically with the partner, whether it was sexual or non-sexual. One person was telling me that the intimacy is the only thing that separates a relationship from a friendship. And that's why many people feel they are living with their roommate or a friend, because they haven't investigated what got in the way. And we fall into these traps of how can we minimize conflict? And one way to minimizing the conflict is avoiding physical touch. And when we're not physically touching our partner, that can lead to emotional disconnection. When people come to my office as couples, I can totally see that which ones haven't had sex or they don't have a good sexual connection, and which ones they have great sexual connection and they are there for other reasons before they're telling me their stories. It's about how you sit at the couch. People that are connected sexually and physically, they sit close to each other, they are connected when they're chatting, they are in tune with the partner. But the ones that are in sexless relationship, most of the time, they turn away from each other. Or I have a mid-sized couch in my office, but one person want to sit on the chair and the other person sits on the couch. And I bet that's not the only pattern in my office. That's how things unfold in the majority of spaces. And even at the party, like when I go to a party, I can tell you which couples, they have great sexual experiences and which ones are at the roommate situation. And it's not only my magic power. Most people can't see the pattern. My invitation for you is that even if you're not at a place that you want to have sex, it's important to incorporate more non-sexual touches in your daily life. Maybe you want to greet your partner at the door, you hug them, or you hold their hand in front of the TV, or maybe you're going to a walk, you hold their hand. And naming what we experience, it's really important and powerful. Because when we don't communicate with our partner about what we're experiencing, that can lead them to have certain kind of ideas that might not be the accurate thoughts or what's happening. So you can go to your partner and say, honey, I miss having physical connection, non-sexual connection with you. I know that sex life is something that we're working on. Sexual health is something that we're focusing on. But I would love to have non-sexual physical connection with you. Just naming it, if there are not other issues in the relationship, I bet that can reduce the recoil, discomfort that partner might experience when you are taking initiative around holding their hand or hugging them or kissing them. Fourth possible challenge is physical health issues. So you might wonder, how is our physical health and sexual health are connected? I'm here to tell you they are deeply interconnected. Regular sexual activity has been shown to offer many health benefits, including improved cardiovascular health, better immune function, enhanced mental health well-being. And there are studies that indicate the sexual satisfaction can reduce stress levels and lowering blood pressure, contributing to overall physical wellness. So as you can see that, first of all, it's important to invest in this if you are someone that health connected, that you want to make sure that you have good sexual experiences. Alternatively, as you are working on addressing this issue, my invitation for you is you have to invest harder for maintaining your physical health, meaning that you want to do cardio, you want to do long walks, and also you want to have some way of managing stress, whether it's through therapy, meditation, support group. There are many ways that you can reduce your stress. Sex is one of them. But if that's not something that you have, instead of writing on YouTube channels, which I don't think that will help with the stress level, just fueling the anger, my invitation for you is to work on practical solutions to manage that stress and possible negative impact on our physical health. Fifth possible negative effect is emotional disconnection. In our relationships, all different facets of our relationship are connected. And lack of sexual intimacy can lead to emotional disconnection. It can cause for us to be more irritated at our partner. I can make an example about my own life. So when my husband and I, we have a good connection, I feel more generous, like sexual connection. I feel more generous in our relationship, right? There is more openness to hear him out. And for example, when I come home from a full day of working with clients back to back, I'm exhausted. Like I'm not open to hear another person talking about their issues. I know that might sound harsh, but it's a reality of I love my clients, but at some days your window of tolerance is smaller. But when we have been connecting sexually and I feel connected to him, of course that I'm willing to hear him out with my heart and my soul and truly support them. Because if we are not physically connected, I can imagine if there are sexual issues in the relationship, I might just even pretend I'm interested, right? Like I'm exhausted and I might just nod my head, but our partner can feel that, okay, I don't care about them or the issue at that moment. And if I talk to anyone, they can take my side because that's what happens in relationship. We tell stories to our friends that they're on our side. For example, I can tell my sister that I worked 7 hours, 8 hours working with acute clients and I came home and my husband wanted to talk about this small thing that worked that happened at his work. And when I wasn't engaged in a conversation, he got mad at me. Can you believe that he had this expectation of me listening to him when I had a full clinical day, right? So that can make sense. But to me, I know that if the physical sexual connection is strong, we have more money in the relationship back. And automatically, we have our partners back more. Or for the partner that they have a lower desire, they might not even feel safe to talk about vulnerable things with a partner. They might feel that my partner is already resentful toward me. They've been disengaged and they're not the person I go to when I'm struggling. And they kind of start relying on other sources to meet that needs. And I'm not gonna say that infidelity affairs are okay, but the common pattern I hear from many of my female clients is that the person that I ended up going and having sex with was the person we started as a friend. He was really listening to me. He was really in tune to my emotions. And that can make the other person attractive. So it's really important to have that in mind. Let's close this section with a quote from one of the viewers. This is because the human mind is very good at adapting to change in the situation and protecting us from pain. After a while, you will even feel taboo about getting undressed in front of them, much like you would feel bashful about that in front of a stranger. Let's talk about the sixth effect of being in a sexless relationship, separation or divorce. The long term of a sexless relationship's future is often, I would say, doom. I wish it was different unless you are doing something to change it. The outcome that I see is people planning for a separation or divorce while the other person thinking, oh, we passed the idea of having sex. It's not a big issue. Or contempt and resentment building in the relationship. And most people want to leave the later stages of life with someone that they enjoy being around them. But years of resentment can make it very difficult and toxic for people to be around each other. One of the viewers wrote, "Life is too short. I lived like that for 21 years and literally should have been out within a year. I now have a wife who really loves me and has a burning desire for me. Still, after 16 years together, it's wonderful to be loved." The other person wrote that 4 more years until my children are in college. And as soon as they leave for college, I'm filing for divorce. And if you're the partner that you've been avoiding having sex, you've been withdrawing, and you're thinking that's not a big deal, and you feel that sex is not important for you or for your relationship, it's important to check in with your partner. If you both are at the same page, it's completely okay. But sometimes one partner feels that they have been constantly rejected and they no longer want to initiate for sex. And that might look like they're no longer pursuing this. There's nothing wrong with getting a divorce, nothing wrong with getting separated because of sexual incompatibility. I highly support it because sometimes people say, I stayed in my marriage because of my children, but their children are miserable. They can see how their parents' interactions are negative and hostile. And they often tell me as an adult in my office, I wish they got divorced. And there are plenty of people out there that will find you attractive, desirable. So my invitation for you as an advice is A, talk about it with your partner. B, go out and look for solutions. Attend sex therapy session, give it a few months and see what happens. And if none of these work, then decide, is that like opening up a relationship, something your partner is open to, you are interested in? Oh, divorce is another possibility for you. So you can have this open and honest conversation with your partner because they deserve to know. The next effect is increased risk of affairs. No one justifies having an affair. I always say whoever go out of the relationship, it is their responsibility to take accountability. No one has forced them. Many people are miserable in their relationships and they leave the partner. But there is a dynamic often that leads to people go out of the relationship, have an affair. We had the full episode last week about affairs. I invite you to check it out. We talked about it a lot. But sometimes when we are in a sexless relationship, when we are feeling emotionally disconnected with our partner, someone appears in our life that they make us feel seen. It's not often about what they look like. It's more about how they make you feel. I remember once I had this female client that she had an affair and she was devastated because it wasn't aligned with her values. And she was telling me, I didn't even like the guy. The first time I saw the guy, I didn't find him attractive. I found them douchey. She said he wasn't my type. But the way he pursued me, I felt desirable. I felt I'm a sexy being. And then that's why I slowly started going out with them and started having sex with them. And she was telling me, I do all these sexual acts that I never done with my partner just because he makes me feel admirable, sexy, and desirable. So it's important to keep in mind then, the truth is being in a sexless relationship makes your relationship vulnerable, whether you like it or not. People are not getting married to be celibate. Maybe they are able to push it aside for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. But long term, there is a part of them that want to have that excitement in life. And it's not a moral failing when people want to feel desired. So regardless of whether you as a lower partner want sex or not, it's your responsibility to find a solution for both of you that works for both. I don't want you to feel that you have to have compulsory sex like a chore, like how women used to have sex. But also it's important to keep in mind that if you're in a monogamous relationship, you may disagreement that you will have sex with your partner. So if there is an issue, this is a time to work on it. Number 8 is turning to unhealthy coping mechanisms. Many times people feel torn being in a sexless relationship. They love their partner. They love the life they built together. and they feel guilty about wanting to have sex. Majority of us in the society are not trained to manage, regulate our difficult emotion. So many people turn to unhealthy coping mechanisms. For example, drinking or smoking pot all the time. Many of my clients that they have marital issue, they say, as soon as I get home, I fix myself a drink because I cannot bear to be around my partner. I feel so frustrated with them, or whatever they say, it irritates me. Remember that we talked about if the relationship bank is empty, it's easy to get frustrated, irritated from our partner's reaction, comments, or communications. Let's hear one of the viewers comment about this. Married 20 years, no sex the last 15. It's probably the sole reason I drink, because it just frustrates me to no end. But the divorce in my state always rules to her favor. And so she'll take everything I work for all these years, and she knows it. And it can be a vicious, turn to this vicious loop. I had people in my office and they say that my partner drinks too much. And when they drink, I don't like my partner. I don't want to have sex with them. And the partner saying that I'm drinking because I cannot tolerate the toxic environment at home. Again, I want to emphasize that people make their own decisions. No one makes you drink. No one makes you have an affair. But people cope with the stressful situation at times in an unhealthy way. So if this is you, it's really important to reach out for help yourself. Find a place that you can process your emotions. Maybe therapy is a good place for you. One of the underused resources that I personally love is group therapy. When people think about group therapy, they think AA or people at hospitals. But many successful people go to group therapy, which is a process group. And it looks like 8 people with a therapist talking about their life and processing it and getting support and building that community. And having that community will help you to figure out, what am I doing? Instead of killing myself, causing all kinds of cardiovascular issues, what would be other healthy strategies that I can cope with? Maybe I need to increase my exercise routine, or maybe I can pick up a hobby if you feel like your partner is not open to addressing this. You deserve to have a healthy, happy life. Even right now, if you don't have a great sex life, relying on substances often will sabotage having a great life later in life, because we know that substance use can really impact our sexual health. The next effect that I kept hearing from people over and over was demonizing their partner, experiencing your partner being cruel. Many of people talk about cruelty of withholding sex. Many people talked about how frustrated they were when their partner had sex at the beginning and they changed the way they connect with the partner. Many people thought that that was just a strategy. I was used, and it just creates such a negative view of the partner. And majority of the cases, it's not about cruelty. I had another client in my office that was telling me that I hope that I die soon. Life is just too painful. I love my partner. I can't have sex with them. Everything in my life is perfect. I tell him I'm a good earner. I'm a good mother. Just forget about sex. Because for her, having sex was really a painful experience. She was telling me that how she grew up in a sex negative culture, and she experienced sex as something dirty and undesirable. And no matter what she was doing, she wasn't able to get to it. But the partner was thinking why she is withholding sex. Is it me that she feels disgusted about? Is it about how I look? Is it about my body? And one of the viewers wrote this. When you think about it, a married person's spouse is their only sexual outlet. It's very cruel for a spouse to withhold sex from their partner. The terms need to be agreed upon before the marriage. It's so selfish to withhold sex and demand faithfulness. Again, I can see why so many people see it as being cruel. But again, oftentimes when I talk with a person with low desire, I hear this profound pain in their voice that how much they want their sex life to work. They just can't get motivated to do it. Either they don't have the right tools on how to turn themselves on, or there are relational issues that they're not talking about it, or there are deep stories from their past that sex is bad, sex is shameful, smart, intelligent people are not into having sex, sex is for shallow people. I hear all of this a lot. And with going to therapy, it can help you to work on these things. No one wants to force you to have sex if you don't want to have sex. But what if that there is an intervention, there is a way of looking at sex that it can make you feel excited. It can help you to connect with that erotic energy. And I can tell you firsthand, it's really, really worth it. So if you feel that there are sexual desires, but you have conflicting emotions about that, my invitation for you is call today to get counseling, sex therapy, to see what are some of the psychological bricks that gets in the way. And the last effect that I wanted to talk about is on parenting and family dynamic. I know you heard it right. I know some of you guys might wonder, what does it do to my parenting? But when you are in a sexless relationship, the sexual issues begin to spill over into your interaction with your children. Many of my adult clients telling me the tension in their house was palpable, and they were noticing this lack of warmth and connection between their parents. In fact, when people come to my office for their own sexual challenges, their own marital issues, I ask them, what was it like in your house? What was your parents' connection like? They were saying that our parents were disconnected. They were not affectionate at all. And we think they never had sex. And it can set people to have unhealthy relational models, which can impact their future relationships. Because oftentimes, we repeat what we learned at home. So if we don't see our parents affectionate, connected, we will have a hard time to show that in our house in front of our children, because we don't have a role model. We don't know how would that look like. There are studies that show that parental conflict and lack of affection can negatively affect children's emotional well-being and development. Some research indicates that children in homes when parents have a strained relationship are more likely to experience anxiety, depression, and behavioral issues. So if you don't want to do it for yourself, if you don't want to address the problem because sex is not important for you, I would suggest you to go to counseling, go to sex therapy to protect your children from being in an unhealthy environment. If you are looking for a therapist, I have a few openings in my office as of now. I graduated a few couples, which is one of the most rewarding things as a therapist, is to experience people making tons of progress and terminating the work. You can book an appointment with me online. The link is in the show notes. And also, you can contact me. I know many sex therapists in different states. So if you are not in California, you're looking for someone in your area, you can shoot me an email. At the end, I want to thank our sponsor, The Firm Tech. The Firm Tech Max PR is a non-tech ring. It's from the Firm Tech company, and it can help you with intensifying your pleasure in addition to lasting longer. It's very comfortable to wear. That's the only cock ring I recommend to people when they ask me. Grab an exclusive 10% discount using code SEXOLOGY and head to myfirmtech.com. Again, our code is SEXOLOGY. Thank you so much for spending this hour with me. I hope to see you in the next episode. Bye there.
Thanks for listening to the Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.